Our lesson tonight is out of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. God's sovereignly good work and the believer's experience. After writing about the believer's hope of being glorified by God at the rapture in Romans 8:18-25, Paul clarified that God sovereignly worked in his current earthly experience in his best interests. That's the verses that we have tonight, Romans 8:28-30. So we view this passage for our insight and edification. I'd like to read the verses, and then we'll look at it. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. For over whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Paul claimed that we believers intuitively know. There are two words, general words for know in the Greek. The one is gnosko. That's to know by experience. Gnosko is where when you eat the pizza and you taste it, you say, this is good. Because that's a knowledge that is by experience, because it's in your mouth and it tastes good. But absolute knowledge, the word oidomen, is when someone puts one pizza up on the blackboard and draws another pizza and it does a plus line and then an equal, and then you write over here two. One pizza plus one pizza equals two pizzas. You're not learning that by experience, but you know it intuitively. You know it in an absolute sense. That's the word here, oidomen. Paul claimed that we believers intuitively know, in an absolute sense, a great truth from the Lord, though we may not always fully understand and sense it experientially. So Romans 8:28 is an absolute sense. We know. We know in our minds. We don't always experience it. Sometimes we do. A lot of times we don't. That truth is the fact that God is currently in the process. It's a present tense, sunerge, which means God is in the process of doing it right now. He's currently in the process of working all things together for the good of the believer. Now this means that everything that can possibly affect the believer in the natural as well as the spiritual realm is under God's complete sovereign control, and that he is orchestrating all of these things for the believer's ultimate eternal good. Now, I could have stopped right there and spent the entire rest of the time just focusing on what those items might be, but I just picked out a number of things. Everything in the stellar universe, including the galaxies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the comets, etc., the meteorite dust that hits the Earth's atmosphere to affect the formation of rain clouds and so forth, and affects the Earth's oceanic temperatures and hence weather patterns, are being used of God to work for every individual believer's ultimate good. It's interesting, I was listening in the Sunday school class today. One of our members, Frank was his name, mentioned that the surrender of General Cornwallis at Yorktown that gave the colonies the victory over Britain was caused because of a storm that came up. Cornwallis wanted to get back in his boats and get out and with the ships because he saw currently at that particular point that they were going to lose the battle. And if they'd been able to get in their ships, they could have gone out and they could have come back and prolonged the Revolutionary War. But a storm came up with great waves, and they couldn't use the boats, so he had no choice but to surrender. So he surrendered, and that was the turning point of the Revolutionary War. So, and we know that storm clouds, a lot of storm clouds are formed because of meteorite dust. We have gobs and gobs of little tiny meteorites that are constantly hitting our atmosphere, and they turn into dust, and that dust is something that gets up in the atmosphere, and a lot of clouds are formed on that meteorite dust. So it's entirely possible that God could have had enough of meteorites hitting the air at that particular point in order to form the storm cloud so that the British would surrender. And that was a determining factor in the formation of this country. And in the formation of this country, it affects us. So it's interesting. Secondly, everything in the physical earth that affects the believer's moods, his physical body, like his diet, the temperature, volcanic activity, the water table, his health, are being orchestrated for the believer's ultimate good. It's interesting, scientists tell us that we all actually have cancer cells in us, but if our immune systems are good, our immune systems are taking them out. And so God knows where every little carcinogenic molecule is in our bodies at any given point, and he knows how to take care of it. So it's just amazing the things that are going on in our bodies. Recently I learned that there's a new organ that has just been discovered in the human body. For years they didn't know it was there. And it goes throughout the entire trunk area. It's a very thin membrane, and it coats all over the organs and makes the other organs work together smoothly so they don't stick. And for years they just thought it was an extra membrane, but it's actually an organ. And they've discovered, I think about a year ago. And so now they have to start viewing that little slimy stuff that covers our organs. They have to treat it as an organ itself, because it is. It's distinct. It's amazing how complex we are, and yet all of that works together for good. Everything in the spirit world, be it other human beings, whether saved or unsaved, angelic beings, demonic or good angels, Satan and God are being carefully orchestrated by the Lord for the believer's ultimate good. It's interesting, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Lord is controlling all of that for the good of the church. Let me just briefly read it. It's a wonderful passage. It talks about the sovereignty of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 20 and following, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power. That's a reference to angelic beings and Satan, and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. That would be over the President of the United States, over the Senate, and so forth. That's all under Christ's control. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Christ is over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everyone in every way. So Jesus Christ is in complete control of that. We know, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10, God let a demonic spirit afflict Paul. Why? To keep Paul humble, regardless of his great revelations, that he might continue to be an effective servant of God. God had given Paul such great revelations that if he hadn't allowed Paul to go through this suffering, he could have become proud. And if he'd become proud, he would have become useless. And there might have been a number of New Testament books that would never have been written for us. And roughly half the New Testament is written by Paul. So the Lord allowed a demonic spirit to afflict Paul, and it frustrated it and so forth. And he tried to ask the Lord three times for it to remove from him. The Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul learned to glory in his weaknesses, and that kept him humble so he could continue to write more epistles for you and for me. So it's just wonderful, the sovereignty of our Lord. In fact, everything in the church, universal or in the local church, material or spiritual, as to realm, is under God's sovereign control, and he's orchestrating them toward the believer's ultimate good. Now, this work is for them that love God, namely for those who are called according to his purpose, according to Romans 8:28. And what's the purpose? The purpose is explained in verses 29 and 30. In eternity past, God foreknew those who would be his people, those who would trust in Christ as Savior to be justified by him. Wherever the word foreknow is used in the New Testament, it refers to God's actual knowledge of that person. It's not God foreknowing some particular event per se, but God actually knowing that person as a person. In eternity past, this is before God created the universe, he knew you. He knew me as believers who would believe in him. And he had his focus on us. As yet, we weren't even formed. We hadn't even been, brought into existence, but he knew us. That's priceless. In fact, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, that the ministries that we have were given to us before the beginning of time. See, time goes on. You know, and God started the first day and everything. But before that, the ministries that you and I have, even here at Nepok Church, they were actually planned by God. So God foreknew us as his people in eternity past. Those who God foreknew would be his people, he also predestined through a great series of events, including the rapture itself, to predestine them to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Christ might be the exalted firstborn among many brethren who have been purified from sin and formatted to live forever with the Lord. Now, this conformity involves practical sanctification in the experiences of life, where God is making us more like the Lord Jesus, holier, more righteous, more loving, and so forth. All of these events work together. And it also includes what we call the ultimate sanctification of the rapture, when the believer is forever removed from all sin. See, right now, you and I have sin natures. Those sin natures are with us, and we're plagued by them. We have to overcome them as a daily walk. We have Satan that we're fighting off. We have the world that we're fighting off. But when the rapture occurs, that's all removed. We're taken out of the world. We're given our old natures are absolutely obliterated, done away with. And we are locked in into righteousness so that we'll never sin any again. That's going to be a wonderful time. Imagine not even having the capacity to sin anymore. But that's where we're being conformed. Right now, God is conforming us in character inside, but eventually he's going to conform us physically in every way and cause us to lose our sin nature at the rapture of the church. That's the conformity to Christ. Accordingly, this goal led to God's deciding to call through the gospel those who had foreknown to be his people and thus also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So God reached out and he called us. See, he already knew that we would be his people, but we still have to be called. We still have to believe in him. So he called us the gospel. The Lord called me in May of 1959, as I was 11 years of age, as a boy at the time. And I saw my need for Christ, and I knew that I was headed to hell if I didn't believe in him. So yeah, I don't think it took me a minute to make the decision. I better pray to Christ and get this right with the Lord. So I did. I said, God, please, whatever you have to do, do it. I want to go to heaven. Now, those he had called through the gospel, God also justified. That means he pronounced righteous when they believed in Christ. And those he justified, he already glorified. It's interesting that the term glorified is written in the past tense because its final step is so certain that in God's eyes, it's as good as done. Isn't that neat? When God looks at you, he looks at you and he thinks, glorified. Now, you're not glorified yet. I'm not glorified yet. But that is so sure that God looks at us and said, glorified. It's just a matter of time before it gets fulfilled. But I'm treating you as glorified. You're already glorified. And that means we're going to shine as the stars or as the sun forever and ever when we get that glory. We have a song in a hymn book, Oh, That'll Be Glory for Me, talking about when we get to heaven. It's going to be wonderful. And I mean, with the saints that are here, you're all going to light up just like the sun. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. And that's because of the grace of God. So though we may not always know this by experience, due to the seemingly debilitating drain of life's trials, we believers intuitively know that God is currently working all things in our experience, be they in this current life or at the rapture to come, for our ultimate eternal good. Accordingly, having foreknown us to be his people from eternity past, God predestined us through all things in this life, as well as the rapture, to be conformed to Christ in his righteousness for the glory of Christ. This includes God's calling us through the gospel, then justifying us when we believed in Christ, and finally glorifying us at the rapture. So may we realize that even in the experientially difficult times of life, God works everything that affects us for our eventual eternal good in conforming us to the righteousness and the holiness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So may we rejoice in this intuitive knowledge and trust God's goodness no matter what we currently face, obeying the Lord in faith that he will perfect that which concerneth me. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 138, verse 8. I remember a pastor by the name of Art Van Camp, and he's now with the Lord, but he used to love that verse. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He's going to complete that which God has planned in regards to the lives of each one of us. That's wonderful. We had an illustration of this happen this past week. I think it was Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Slates were driving, and this is unusual because now a number of the people in the Slate family have their own licenses. Often they travel in different vehicles, but they were all together in the van, and they were driving by the Brunetti's house, and they had just gone by, and all of a sudden the ambulance comes and pulls into the Brunetti's place. Well, the Slates saw that happen, so apparently they turned the van, and then they parked right outside, right near the driveway at the end of the road, and they just prayed because they didn't know what was going on. And Mike had called Kathy, and she'd come home from work, and he was in a lot of pain, and in the abdominal area and so forth. And so they took him in the ambulance, and they went off to the hospital of Charlotte Hungerford. Well, it ended up that Mike, he had some hernia surgeries before, but those patches had not worked. They broke up and whatnot, so the doctor had to put it together. Well, the surgeon that was going to fix him was a surgeon who had put in the feeding tube, and Mike was having problems with the feeding tube. So he said, by the way, while you're at it, could you repair this? Could you look at this? And the doctor said, I'll take care of it. So Mike was under anesthesia, and the doctor was taking care of repairing the hernia that had cut loose. He also put a new port in, and so Mike needs that port because he has to feed. That's how he gets his food. So Mike had that all taken care of, and Kathy was amazed at how the Lord took care of that. Well, now we've learned that Kathy has a special meeting on Tuesday at work, and it's a bit of a concern. But I believe that this event that has occurred already is a signal that the Lord will take care of the family no matter what happens. There may be apprehension about what's taking place this coming Tuesday, but in view of what God's done on Monday, all things are working together for good. We can trust that the Lord's going to handle it, and he's going to take care of it no matter what happens. And as a body, we're solidly behind the Brunettis in regards to looking out for them and praying for them, and we want to continue to do that. But it's just amazing how all of these events, Kathy was talking to me today in Fellowship Hall about it, about how everything was just coordinated with such tremendous precision. And it gives her encouragement that the Lord is going to see them through the events that they face. And you know, that should be an encouragement for us. I've been in contact with a number of people in our body, some today and some earlier in the week, who've been through trials, and some big trials. Sometimes it's in the workplace. Sometimes it's with extended family members. It's amazing that the variety of trials and challenges that people in our body are facing, even right now. Well, all things are in the process of working together. We've got to trust God. It may not make sense right now, but we may not know it in terms of gnosko, that is experience, but intuitively, oidomen, we know in our head that it is working. And someday when we get to the end of this road and we look back and we see God's working, we're going to appreciate what he's done. It may take eternity for God to tell us all that he's been doing, even, for example, like today. Today might be full of all sorts of events of God's working in our lives. But it's going to be wonderful to see that. But we have this assurance that it's working together. And if that's the case, we can afford to be optimistic. We can afford to be happy. We can afford to rejoice in the Lord, for as much as our lives and our labor is not in vain in the Lord.